What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet, at least until someone trademarked the word and outsourced production to maximize return on investment. I've been thinking a lot about branding and trademarks since March 1st, when the National Park Service changed the names of several historic designations within Yosemite National Park to avoid a trademark infringement claim. Delaware North, the corporation that had been the park's concessionaire since 1993, now claims to own intellectual property rights to the names of Yosemite Lodge at the Falls and several other beloved and iconic features of the park, all of which were named long before Delaware North was even in the picture. I found the news about Yosemite's trademark woes depressing evidence of the continuing corporatization of modern life. That corporatization is not restricted to America either. Last week, as we approached the 400th anniversary of William Shakespeare's death, I knew there would be lots of media coverage about him, but I did not expect that the very first story I'd hear on American public media's marketplace would be a report about how much money the Shakespeare, quote, brand is worth today. Something deep in my soul resists referring to either Shakespeare the man or his body of work as a brand. The word brand originally referred to the process of literally searing proof of ownership into a living animal's flesh. Now we establish and defend property rights over our animals with the higher tech but equally invasive process of embedding a microchip in their flesh or a tag into their ear. My dog Pip and I may think of ourselves as family, but legally she is property and I have the microchip registration that proves my ownership. I have a license to keep an education owl, Archimedes, but he is not property, and I am not allowed to refer to him as a pet. My license to possess him is limited, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has the legal authority to confiscate him at any time for any reason. It's not that the federal government holds with any belief that wild birds have an intrinsic quality that transcends possession, ownership, trademarks, or branding. It's just that the federal government itself claims ownership of America's wildlife. Governmental agencies can grant permits to individuals to permanently mark wildlife, including embedding microchips in their flesh for research purposes, but again, the bird banders and other wildlife researchers doing this don't own those animals. The same federal government that does not own the trademark on Yosemite National Park's named features does own every animal within the park and beyond. Specific images of wild animals can be trademarked. Coca-Cola uses both accurate and stylized depictions of their trademark polar bears in their ads, and the Minnesota State Lottery uses images and sounds of real wild loons on their commercials and official logo. But neither they nor anyone else can trademark or claim ownership over an actual species. Just because I love chickadees and many people associate them with me, or just because I refer to the chickadees living in my neighborhood as mine, doesn't mean they belong to me or anybody else. No one can possibly own loons or chickadees, Yosemite National Park, or William Shakespeare. The best things in life are free in both senses of the word. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.